So for the second time, so this girl wrote to me to get me involved in her RE project. And the question that she asked me was, why do you believe in God? Why do you believe in God? And we could spend quite a while on that, couldn't we? It's a good question. But needless to say, I twisted it slightly. And I said, I don't believe in any God. I believe in the God of the Bible. And there are lots of reasons for that, but I remember that the very big one that I gave her was that I don't know any other religion, I don't know any other philosophy, I don't know any political party or worldview or position that tells me so clearly what my greatest need is and what can be done about it. And that's what the God of the Bible does. He tells me that my greatest need is forgiveness, and he also tells me how I can be forgiven. When Jesus teaches his friends the Lord's Prayer, which he does in that reading, there is one bit that he goes back to again, and that is forgiveness. And here's what I want to say this morning, really. I think forgiveness for us is a massive issue. I think forgiveness is a bit like a locked room. And we just can't see how to get into forgiveness. But if only we had the key to unlock it, forgiveness brings such blessings and benefits. When we say the Lord's Prayer using the traditional words, we say, don't we, forgive us our trespasses. And when we do that horrible thing of updating the Lord's Prayer to more contemporary language, we say, don't we, forgive us our sins. But when Jesus originally taught this prayer, as you can see in the reading, he doesn't use either of those words. He uses the word debts. It's down there in verse 12. Now, they all mean the same thing. Trespasses, sins, debts. But debts is such a helpful way for us to understand how forgiveness works. You see, if someone wrongs you, it's as though it creates a debt. So they now owe you. So let me see if I can just show you. Here it is. The debt. You've wronged me, and therefore you now owe me a debt. And forgiveness is quite simply where I take the debt that you owe me and I rip it up. I rip it up. It's gone. It's done with. I am not going to carry that debt around in my back pocket anymore. And of course, that is exactly what happens when God forgives us. He rips up the debt. He rips up the wrong. And he promises that he will never bring it up again. He promises, I won't bring it up again. So Psalm 32 says, blessed is the man or the woman whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Once he forgives your sin, it's gone. Gone forever. He will never rake up forgiven sin. I just want to spend a moment, though, thinking about this. What is the debt that we owe God? Why do we need forgiveness? Well, I just wanted to give you this little illustration. I hope it helps. You may have heard it before, but I hope it helps. There were once two, it's not true, okay? There were once two teachers, Ricky and Brian, and they wanted to share a flat in London, but it's so very expensive, isn't it? And they came across this amazing advert, palatial mansion overlooking Hyde Park, reception rooms, bathrooms, 7 bedrooms over 2 floors, swimming pool, games room, snooker room, two tenants required £100 per month for 2 years. It's incredible, isn't it? And it wasn't a hoax, it was genuine. The owner was an Argentinian billionaire. Perhaps some relation of Maria. An Argentinian billionaire who wanted two responsible tenants to look after his home while he went back to Argentina. All he asked was that they keep in touch to discuss the needs of the property. So, absolutely over the moon, they apply, they get the flat, they move in. But they were so different, these two young men. Ricky took the top floor and quickly moved in some of his wild friends. It was very reminiscent of a Saturday night in Hayton Road. All-night parties, beer stains, cigarette burns, broken furniture, mess on the carpets. It was very obviously outrageous behaviour. Brian, on the other hand, was exemplary. He washed the windows every Tuesday. He washed the door handles every Thursday. He washed the floors every weekend. He was so neat and tidy, it was said even his pyjamas had turnips. So what's going to happen when the billionaire comes back? One floor is trashed. One floor is pristine. So you can guess, can't you? Except no. What you think would happen is not what happens. To everyone's surprise, the owner kicked both of them out. This is what he said. I can't do an Argentinian accent. It will sound like Maria if I do. The billionaire said, to be sure, Ricky trashed the place. But actually both men completely failed me in different ways. Neither of them stayed in touch. Though I left them countless messages. They ignored my requests, they treated me with contempt, they abused my generosity, they forgot I even existed, and they never even paid the rent. Well, before you get too carried away, that is supposed to be a picture of us. We live in this beautiful world, but it's God's. We are supplied with everything. Everything, but it's from God. And in different ways, we all ignore and abuse him. Some of us do it very obviously, and we trash our own lives into the bargain, don't we? But lots of us do it in a very neat and tidy way. We push God away just as much as the trasher, but we just look more respectable. And either way, whether you are a trasher or not, it means we owe God a massive debt which we cannot pay, a debt which increases daily, and there's nothing we can do to pay it. Nothing. Nothing. But Jesus can. His death on a cross is the payment which pays the debt. Shall I say that again? Jesus' death on the cross is the payment which discharges the debt. And when we ask him to, Jesus will therefore remove the debt forever. Whether you are a Brian or a Ricky, God has promised utterly, totally, that he will accept Jesus' death in payment of the debt that you owe him. He's promised he will. All you've got to do is claim it. All you've got to do is take hold of it. All you've got to do is put your trust in this Jesus. It is a once for a lifetime transaction. His death covers all your sin. His death covers all your debts, past, present, future. All of it. It is finished. But just as we need daily bread, we need daily forgiveness. Because this side of glory, even the best of us, we go on sinning. We go on running up debt every day that we can't pay. So as we confess, which we did earlier, didn't we, with Daniel, And as we say, forgive us our sins, which we did earlier, we're remembering. When we do those things, we're remembering that we owe God this great debt, that we're sorry for that debt, but that the debt has been paid. It's been paid. God forgives through faith in Jesus Christ. He does not forgive us because of the frequency of our confession. Jesus has just said that's what the pagans do when they babble on. It's not the frequency of our confession, it's faith in Christ. But that's just the introduction, right? That's not really what I want to talk about. That's so important, isn't it? But here's what I want to talk about. Verse 12, you see, it goes on, verse 12. And it gets so challenging. Do look at it. Because Jesus says, "Forgive." This is how you are to pray. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And then verse 14, Jesus goes back to clarify what he said. He says in verse 14, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But verse 15, if you do not forgive others, your Father will not forgive you. Let me tell you something that is life-changing about forgiveness. It's life-changing for me. I know it was for other people here as well. Most of us think forgiveness has to be earned. Most of us think that forgiveness works like this. That person has wronged me, and I will forgive them when they're sorry for what they've done. Now, I reckon we all think that's how forgiveness works. When there is sorrow, when there is repentance, when there is some kind of admission, then I'll forgive. But friends, please understand, that is not forgiveness. Whatever you've heard, that is not forgiveness. What I've described there is a swap. I give you my forgiveness in exchange for your sorrow. You've done me wrong, and now that you're paying in some way, I'll forgive you. But that is not forgiveness. You see, the whole point about forgiveness is that it is totally undeserved. That's the point. That's what forgiveness is. If I have to pay for my forgiveness, it's not forgiveness. When you forgive someone, the whole point is that they don't deserve your forgiveness. And that's why forgiveness is such an extraordinary thing. It's such a powerful thing. Because it's pure grace. It's not deserved, it's not earned, it's not paid for. And can I say, I think this is so very hard for us to grasp. Because we live in a culture which is all about getting what we deserve. So we talk about our children getting the education they deserve. We talk about having the NHS that we deserve, having the care that we deserve. We even talk about having the football team we deserve. And it's a very attractive way to talk. If you listen to any politician, you'll hear them saying, we deserve this, we deserve that, you deserve this. It's a very attractive way to talk, but I think it's quite dangerous. Because if that's what life is about, where in the world is there room for something that is undeserved? There is no room for something that is undeserved. And so somewhere along the line, tragically, we have lost the meaning of forgiveness. And because we've lost the meaning of forgiveness, we've obviously lost the practice of forgiveness. I have long suspected that one of the great burdens that we live with in our community, dare I say in our church, is unforgiveness. We hold on to these debts. We carry them around with us. If only we could carry them in our back pocket. The truth is we carry them around like huge boulders that weigh us down because we don't know how to forgive and we don't know what it is. But Jesus says, you must forgive. You must forgive. To hold on to unforgiveness is to hold on to a really toxic burden. So someone has written, and I think this is so powerful. Unforgiveness is the poison we drink, hoping someone else will die. Unforgiveness is the poison we drink. It poisons us, unforgiveness, but we hope that it will kill somebody else. I think we know this. We know it. We know what a burden unforgiveness is, but we just don't know how to unlock the door. Let's look at verse 14 and 15 again. Does Jesus really mean, if you don't forgive, God will not forgive you? Does he really mean that? We've just been saying, I started off by saying that God's forgiveness is unconditional. It's unearned. Unconditional grace. You don't have to do anything to get forgiven. So Jesus cannot be saying that our forgiveness of others somehow earns our own forgiveness from God. He can't be saying that. But I'll tell you what he is saying. Receiving forgiveness from God, truly knowing God's forgiveness, should transform us into people who are forgiving. So, sorry, I'm going to put this really brutally. Jesus is saying, if you insist on justice from him or from her, if you insist that the wrongdoer, every wrongdoer who's ever wronged you, that they must pay the debt they owe you, if you insist on justice, then justice is what you will get. The debt you owe, you will have to pay. But if you understand God's grace in forgiving you, in tearing up the debt you owe him, you must see, if you understand that at all, you must see that it is offensive not to tear up the debts that you are owed. You can't ask for grace from God, but at the same time insist on justice from everyone else. It's just totally inconsistent. His grace mustn't stop with us. His grace is supposed to flow through us like a river to other people. It's a great mistake to be trusting in God's grace and then insisting on justice from everyone else. In all our relationships, we have got to learn to forgive, because to do otherwise is poison. It's spiritual suicide. And then we've got to see how it works. We've got to see that forgiveness is undeserved. It's unpaid for. Otherwise, it's not forgiveness. And then we've got to do it. Then we've got to do it. So do you remember Nike, the sports people? I used to have a pair of tracksuit bottoms from Nike. And down the leg it said, "Just do it!" Exclamation mark. And when it comes to forgiveness, that's exactly what the Bible says. Just do it. Forgiveness is a decision of the will. You have got to choose to rip up the debt. It's almost a physical thing, isn't it? To rip up the debt. You've got to choose to do it. And every day you have to make the effort to mold your life to that decision, to live it out. Jesus does not say anywhere that I can see in this reading that it will be easy. It's not easy. So we've got to pray for God's help. And then you've got to take a deep breath and say, no, I'm not going to think like that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say that because I have decided to forgive that person. And when I forgive that person, it means I don't break up old debts. I have decided that the debt is gone. It's finished. Now, sorry, I'm going to finish, but this is very important. Forgiveness, in the terms that we've been talking about here, forgiveness, please understand, does not mean that I put up with an abusive relationship. Forgiveness does not mean that I put up with domestic violence. Forgiveness does not mean that I put up with offensive behaviour or bullying. Forgiveness does not stop me seeking justice from the authorities. Forgiveness does not mean that I put a known thief in charge of the money bag. That's probably foolish. But I want to say those things are separate from forgiveness. Don't get bogged down in the difficult issues when it comes to forgiveness. Forgiveness, what we're talking about today, is what happens in my heart at a daily level. What we're talking about today is my personal response to someone who has wronged me. And it starts with God. It starts with taking hold of his forgiveness in Christ. And then letting that grace from God flow through me into all my relationships. Is it costly to do this? Yes, it is. Is it hard to do this? Yes, it is. But we've got to take a deep breath and just do it, because there is no choice. The choice is you live with unforgiveness for the whole of your life, and that is a toxic burden. So forgiveness is vital for our life and our relationships, and Jesus says it's frankly vital for our eternal life as well. Amen.